To begin.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast. We have the legendary David Hernandez in the building. Dude, what's up, man?
Yeah, what's up? Legendary, though. Damn.
Hey, legendary, man.
Introduction.
You've been putting that work in over the last couple years. I see it. Everybody sees it.
I mean, I'm just trying to put some shine to spotlight artists that are part of our community, you know? And I think it's just, if nobody else is doing it, why not? I love the arts. I love what I do. I've been doing it for quite some time, and I enjoy it at the end of the day. I think it's also fun doing it with people that enjoy the same thing that you do. So why just spotlight the one person when you could just spotlight everybody else that's doing the same shit?
Hell yeah. You know, and you've been a really big, prominent person, individual, I think, in general, in Sela for a while. You know, I first came across you through Night Flare. You know, that was like, what's Night Flare? That's like a media production. Like, what is it? They do film, photography. And then throughout the years, I started to get to know you, you know, as an individual. And I started, like, figuring out what drives you. And it vibed with me so much, you know, because I feel like the same thing that I'm trying to do with this podcast is just trying to bring information, trying to uplift and just showcase talent. You know, I feel like you're doing that, but in real actionable, tangible ways through what you're producing and the stuff that you've been involved in with the city. So, dude, you know, you've been doing big shit.
It's a productive form of, could say, journey, just because I'm a person of all kinds of, like, traits. Mm-hmm. So, like, music, film, anything that becomes entertainment, I'm passionate about. And so when I find other people that are kind of passionate for that, it's like, it just drives me 100%. Like, everybody else that's driven, like, that energy, mm-hmm. that you're just like, damn, that fool's fucking rapping on the stage. I remember performing. Yeah. I've been there. Love that shit, you know? Or when they're filming, it's like, I remember filming other artists and performers. So it's like, it all comes together to, like, a long journey through music and film at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And yeah, the name Night Flare is what people knew for a long time, you know. I think it's just the same reason why I've, like, this is one of the first interviews or podcasts that I've individually been a part of, because I don't like the spotlight.
Yeah.
I'm not a person of spotlight. I'm more of a person, I'd rather put another person on the spotlight than myself. And I'll be, like, rooting on for you, you know. I believe in your vision. I believe in your art. I believe in your story. What's wrong with it, you know? And then later on, once everything kind of, like, plans out, or at the same time, I'm also still figuring out, like, what is my journey.
Yeah.
You know, as I go, it just keeps progressing. It keeps leading me to where I'm supposed to be. And so for a long time, like, before, I've been fighting, like, oh, what is my purpose? But not anymore. You know, at this point, it's like, I know what the purpose is. Like, I was supposed to be in those spaces.
Yeah.
At all times. I was supposed to be there. And there was a reason, there's a reason why, you know, it becomes what's today.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, yeah, for a long time, people knew Night Flare as who is Night Flare. And not until, I think, maybe 2022 or 2023 is when people started knowing who Night Flare really was.
Yeah.
But Night Flare has been around since 2019. I established it then. And before that, it was just a group of friends, close friends, just creating the foundation of what that was going to be. Because at the end of the day, I had planned out that Night Flare was just going to be a production company in film and also music. So we're going to highlight artists, you know, musicians, probably make, like, music videos and stuff like that, right? But also booking, you know, book artists, performances, venues and stuff like that. So it's like, because I've been part of those avenues in the past and in the present. So I'm like, how can I put all this together? So it's like, oh shit, can't do it by myself. So let me put a collective together. Let me think of a group of people that are down for my crazy ass vision and see if they're down.
And that sometimes that's what it takes. I like referring, when I hear about these type of messages, I like referring it to, like, somebody's a Nick Fury of these people, like the Avengers, you know? Oh. Like, there's a main guy who brings all these other people together to make this fucking super team.
Yeah.
You know, and in this case, you're a Nick Fury and you're just looking for the talent. You're like, hey, you, join me, you know?
Yeah.
Let's create this thing that can uplift, you know, the community and empower yourselves as well, because I think that's a big thing for an individual. You know, you want to be part of something bigger.
Yeah, and I think it also leads to knowing the individual strengths. Yeah. You know, every person in my team, every person that's not a part of my team, but that I collaborate with, like, I work with them because I know their strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And I pick on them for their strengths. And that's how we grow. And I don't grow like by myself. We grow as an empire. We grow as a collective. We all grow together. You know, it comes down to, like I mentioned to you before, is like the Social Primate podcast. It needs to be a part of this space too. And we're all going to grow together. It's just not Nightflare growing and we're just going to take it on to ourselves. Nah, it's going to be everybody else as a part of this. It's like, I'm just the person with a vision that's just trying to create more spaces for us to all just climb up that journey that we want to be in. You know, it's like, I'm not in it by myself and I shouldn't be by myself. And I'm pretty sure you don't want to be by yourself. Many of the times, a lot of the artists do feel alone. It feels like we're just alone.
Yeah, facts.
No, most of the time, we feel like we're alone. At the end of the day, we feel like we're fucking alone. And so I think having someone to tell you that you're not alone, let's do it together, I think that kind of brings a pretty good energy vibe to be like, well, fuck it, let's just fucking work together and see what the fuck comes out of it.
Exactly. Yeah, and you go in there with no real sense of where it's going, so that gives you
the unknown is fucking scary.
Yeah, yeah, you know, but at the same time, it gives you this unlimited ability to like think of different ideas and like of where things can go.
Yeah,
you know, and so it's like endless possibilities once you get past the threshold of that fear.
Well, you start with basically just asking the person, what is it that they really feel passionate in doing? You know, and for me, it was music at the time, and I ran with it 100%. I say, if you're dedicated to an art, put 100% of your efforts into it and you're going to grow in it and also be a part of those spaces. Like if you're a musician, go to fucking shows, go meet with network artists, you know, go to all these other mixers and parties or whatever it might be that you might find artists in music in your scene. Be a part of those spaces.
Yeah.
And you apply the same thing anywhere in the entertainment business. Either it's film, you go find other filmmakers, you create a hub. Or you create the space and you bring them together, however it might be. Or if you're seeking for a selective group, then find that selective group. You know, put yourself into in those spaces of like, oh, well, I'm going to wait until somebody creates it. Might wait a cool minute.
Exactly.
So it's like, and sometimes a person might be like scared to do so just because they're like, oh, well, I don't know how to do it. Take the leap. I think I've been that example for myself and I've surprised myself to be like, you know what? Nobody else is creating this space. Fuck it. I'll create it for myself and I'll see who else is down for it. And luckily it's been needed. We were chatting earlier before we started the podcast. I think the art is just been deprived from our neighborhoods coming from Southeast LA. In East LA, you know, like East LA, Southeast and all those low income communities. We have our rich culture, we have our richness, but it is up to us to create that richness for our communities. And so since we've been deprived, well, I think it's up to us to kind of like bring it to them. And us as creatives, stay within our communities and give it back to them at the same time. But also figure out ways how to make a living, because at the end of the day, we also got to fucking...
You got to pay the bills.
You got to pay the bills.
Yeah. No.
That's the struggle, right? So it puts us in anxiety. It puts us in a mental state where we're like, fuck, am I going to be able to fucking do this? You know, am I going to keep struggling? And sometimes you're like, fuck, I just want to give up and screw this and we'll see what I'll just go work and do something else, you know, see when I get back to it. But I think what's driving me the most is me saying to myself, like, I don't want to work for someone ever again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to work at a 9-to-5 job because it didn't make me happy. Not until I push myself to be like, hey, you know what, David? You're going to quit today and you're going to go pursue this brainstorm vision that you created calling Nightflare. You're like, fuck it. We're going to run with it. And this is who we're going to talk to and see if they're down to be a part of this collective and see where we go from here and see what comes out of it.
Dude, that's crazy.
So when you ask me like, what is Nightflare? I'm like, yeah, it's a film production company, but I think I want to call it a multimedia conglomerate, you know? Like we're just everything media entertainment purposes. I think that's what Nightflare is going to be. And it's going to have a branch of departments of film production, music production, you know, music avenue, music outlets, music media, film, movies, music videos, all that stuff. Like it's just going to be a part of like an industry that's based in Southeast LA. You know, think of it as what Warner's was before they became Warner Brothers, you know, before they became Universal, before they had their own music labels and stuff. All these music labels, what were they before? They were people planning the same way we are all planning, a collective. How are we going to run this? Who's going to be a part of it? Who's going to put in the work? what's going to be the meaning to this? What is the purpose for this? And so I think it's time for us to bring it to the Latino community. I think Latinos have been a part of this industry with everybody else that kind of puts us on the bottom. Well, I think it's time for us to put us on top, or to say the same level. We're just trying to have equality here at the end of the day.
Right.
Be in the industry just like everybody else, because we're just as great as they are.
Yeah, of course. Be fairly represented. And, you know, I think that's one of the cool things that you have also gotten yourself involved with, just the fact that you've gotten down to like the, you can say like a local government level, where you're involving and trying to drive these changes to happen on the community scale, not just Knifler as a company, you know?
No, it comes down to also community in Southeast LA, right? I think the Cultural Arts Center, the Silla Cultural Arts Center, is a big part that's kind of like a political in a way, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's actually something that it could be for the people, by the people, but also brought to you by people that are in government, people that are politicians, you know, that are actually advocating, that are bringing those access and those resources to our communities. I think that's one of the amazing parts, is that me being honored to be a part of those spaces alongside these individuals, these politicians, it's amazing. I think I am completely grateful. You know, I am, and it comes down to everything else that they do alongside with us, and they include us. So it's not for granted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely grateful, and I think our community sees that. And we need to keep pushing our community to be like, hey, you know what? Like, these are the people that are trying to help us out. You want in? Right. You want to be a part of it? Not be gatekeepers at the end of the day. Bring them all in.
Mm-hmm.
Where we all have different avenues. We all have different types of arts. We all have different types of skills. I think we all can contribute and see, once again, like, what is your strength and what can we do together?
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, I think one of the, the event that I was a part of last year in the summer was the Silla Arts Festival. And to me, you know, just a little bit of background for people listening. I've been in Cudahy since 98. Previously, before that, I was in Highland Park. That's where I was like 7 or 8 when I moved into Cudahy. So since 98 to 2022 or something, I lived in Cudahy. Now I'm in, like, you can say it's Bell. And, you know, I will consider myself a type of artist. You know, like, I like creating things. And I think, you know, just the ability to be able to create or want to create.
You are an artist.
I am an artist.
You are an artist, because I see your graphic designs of the gorilla, man. That's pretty cool.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And then you're doing a podcast. At the end of the day, you're also an entertainer.
Yeah.
So it's like you're entertaining an audience. You're part of the arts in general. So I literally could tell you that you are an artist.
All right. Well, I am an artist, you know. And as an artist growing up in Sela for the last almost 20 years or so, you see the drastic change in the community. You know, back then, to me, like, I had friends that were getting shot, or people that I knew were getting killed at a young age, you know, or they were doing fucking crack or just doing these crazy things that you wouldn't think you would see at 13, 14, 15 years old. And another thing was that additionally, we didn't have an outlet for expression, right? And everybody knows that during that time, you're going through all these type of emotions. Like, you need an outlet to express yourself, your identity. And when you're not given the opportunity to have that, there's no other way but just to resort to the, you know, tagging or joining gangs to represent, to feel like you're part of something.
Right.
And I think now you start seeing the change that, okay, we're seeing a creative boom coming out of Sela. It's a perfect way to get the youth more involved and actually maybe try to stray them away from the only paths that we've seen in cycles over the last couple of decades.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely been a change for the past years. I think our age gap is no different. I think we kind of come from the same type of spaces where, arts have been taken away from schools. But the one thing that I could say is that us being deprived from it does not take us away from the artists that we are at the end of the day. You know, it's like, if we're meant to be artists, one way or another, we're going to figure it out. And we're going to create something or find a way to do so. Might be in, some people find the wrong ways to do so, but I think at the end of the day, some of these people have done the wrong way, got caught, have been part of like something that's like locked up or something for it. But then they've created avenues where they created spaces.
Exactly.
They created spaces because they didn't want the youth or their kids to follow up what they went through when they were kids. So like now we have those spaces. I think what I'm seeing is millennials are making that change in our communities. You know, before it was more like we come from first gen communities. Yeah. So it's like immigrant parents, they're trying to figure out their life. You know, they're still trying to figure themselves out. They're still trying to figure out how they're going to pay the bills, have a roof. And so I think that comes down to us when we grow up is like either we stay and make a change in this community or what happens mostly in these communities, people just book it.
They just bounce, yeah.
They just bounce. They're like, oh, I went to school and I got a degree and now I'm going to go work on some rich side of town and just stay there instead of being like, oh, well, I think I should come back and change what's going on in my community. And that's something that kind of hits on me because like, if you want change, if you want something good to come out of communities, well, the people that grew up in it know it best.
Yeah.
And if you want change, the people that grew up there, they can make the changes. But it's up to us to make those changes. But we can't do it alone. So we have to do collectively. And that's the one thing that we're seeing now, right, in Southeast LA, is that the people that grew up there, now that we're adults, we have families, are finally stepping up into like, oh, well, we're staying here. We're living here and we're creating spaces and we're artists and we're also creating programs and workshops for like the youth.
Yeah.
Or festivals, you know, brought by other individuals that are seeing that Southeast LA has been deprived from the arts, you know, that they know that. And they're like, oh shit, well, how about we bring them some form of art or a platform? And boom, here came the Sela Arts Festival. And the Sela Arts Festival was such a big inspiration to, I think, maybe a lot of communities. I think it's like, what you call that? Like a map or some sort of agenda layout of like, oh, what should we do for certain communities because of they've been deprived of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like there's little bullet points like, oh, well, we need to have people that are interested in those spaces and create those spaces. And we need to find ways of how to get the resources to bring them the resources and then see if they want to engage in it. Because that's what happened is they created this Sela Arts Festival and a group of people that are, some of them were not from Southeast LA and they just came through and they brought in the community, asked us to be a part of it and pretty much curate this festival alongside with them.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the best. I think that's amazing. And it's like, oh shit, like who wouldn't want to be a part of this?
Yeah.
And who wouldn't want to make that change? Who wouldn't want to lead up to be like, hey, you know what? I'm down to be a part of that vision alongside with you. And thank you for bringing this to us.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's a good way that you put it. Like you have to put it out there and then see if the people engage in it. I mean, you know, of course, but you have to give them a platform to be able to say, hey, well, let me give it a go. I think at this point, it's been the third year of the Sela Arts Fest or the second or something?
In person.
Yeah.
Third year in person.
Mm-hmm.
1 year was virtual. So it was 2018? Was it 2018? Yeah. 2018 was the first Southeast LA Arts Festival. I was not a part of that one, but I came in 2019 and that was also in person. 2020 was pandemic time, so I did virtual. It's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
And then 2021, 2022, it's when, shut down. I think we were still trying to figure things out.
Oh, that's right. Cause it did take a little break.
Took a little break. Just because also funders were funding a lot of the COVID vaccines and so forth. So, a lot of like funders were just interested not in the arts at the moment, just because the world was pandemic.
Right. Right.
And so, 2023 is when everybody's like, so I think they probably said, fuck it.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think it's time for us to bring this shit back.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah, man. And people came out. People came out. It was...
They were craving it.
Yeah.
I think people were also asking like, oh, when is the next Sela Arts Festival? Mm-hmm. When is the festival coming through? I think the biggest wow for everybody is like, it's at the LA Riverbed.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, who in the... Bucks is like having a big old festival right by the LA Riverbed.
Exactly. Yeah, because it has a history. Like you think You think Sella, right? It already has a bad rap. You see the factories, you see the fucking, the train yards, the dirty riverbed sometimes with just graffiti, and you see like crackheads going into the sewers. Wow. Like, I live pretty close to the riverbed, so I'll walk my dog there every, like, in the mornings. After a certain time, I still don't go there. I'm going to be straight with everybody. So you don't catch me there. But in the morning, you might see me walking my dog there, you know, if you want to, like, you know, just say what's up.
I never walked the riverbed ever.
Yeah.
Not until I came into the Solaris Fest, to be honest.
Yeah.
Never been down there, never been even on the side where you could walk or bike through. Only seen it through the freeways.
Yeah. Dude.
And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll go walk one day and check it out. Never did.
Never it's because it's I mean, it's a weird spot. I mean, depending on the time of the day, you're gonna come across certain people. You might get hit up, you know. Or I remember when I was a little kid, I used to not little but like 13, I used to walk to Edwards Theater. If people are familiar with the area in Southgate and Cudahy, you walk through the riverbed and you cross the big ass fucking train bridge to get through the encampments and then into the Curaçao fucking shopping center with the theater. I used to walk there back and forth. And on the nights after the movies, we'll come back with friends, and there was always gangsters on the train, on the bridge. Hey, where you from? You know, like, hey, no, we're not. We're just like, you know, punk rockers. We're just punks. All right, get out of here. You know, we wouldn't get mugged, but
yeah,
you get hit up.
Yeah, you get hit up for sure.
You know, when people say, hey, Sella Arts Festival is taking place in the LA River, you're like, wait, what? Like, what do you mean? But the awesome thing is that we're trying to take back what that place means, and try to reframe it for the new generation, for the new people, because to us, you know, me fucking 33 years old, I'm like, yeah, that place, you don't want to go there a certain time.
Yeah.
But now, knowing that there's a move to push change, to bring engagement, let's go back with engagement, to this area that has always been just, you know, desolate, fucking ugly spot, let's make it beautiful.
Right.
You know? And that's like, dude, that's fucking crazy. It's awesome. We're taking responsibility for that now.
Yes, and it's with the help of partners and community and neighbors. Neighbors are coming together that are interested in being a part of it, as well as artists that can showcase their creative work. Being an outlet just for anyone that wants to be a part of it can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just it's up to the community and neighbors to come through and engage at the end of the day. You know, and talking about making it beautiful, I mean, like at the end of the day, that cultural arts center, you know?
Yeah, man.
It's going to be right above where the Sella Arts Festival is going to be at. Yeah. So it's like, that's going to be another beautiful place for people to be like, oh, well, that's a nice place to be now, go walk, see it through. I mean, I think it's nice in general. I mean, when I see it through the freeway, I mean, it looks pretty dope.
Yeah.
It's just that, like, I'd never found myself walking down the river, you know?
It's
just it's just something that I guess I've never done myself. Because I've been so involved in entertainment, music, and so forth. Like, I've been in bands in the past, so I've always been shows.
Yeah.
Like, so I never had in my mind, oh, I'm going to go to the LA Riverbed and go take a walk. I think my walks have been at home rehearsing for, like, what's going to be my next show for next week and shit, you know? Or now it's more like, oh, now I'm editing or I'm preparing for my set for next Friday or something, you know? So it's like I'm always on the move and working, so I'd never found myself taking the time to, like, oh, I'm going to go take a walk, or I'm going to go take a bike ride down the LA Riverbed, which I think maybe in the future I will.
Yeah. You know, just pro tip for anybody thinking about it. If you go from Cudahy to Long Beach on the train tracks, on the fucking riverbed, I've done it before. It's going to take you maybe like 6 hours. Bring some padding because your ass is going to hurt on that fucking bike. And just make sure you have water and snacks. But it's a cool little trip. But
just get a bike, bring a cushion. Take some water and take some snacks and go check it out for yourself.
Yeah, if anything, start near the Southgate area so you avoid all the fucking broken glass before that, you know? But yeah, dude, it's cool. Again, we're trying to make changes to what we knew as a community. I think it's awesome that
it's up to us.
Yeah, exactly. We're the ones responsible, and we can make the change if we all fucking put our efforts in together.
And we all work together. And that's literally Knife Flare.
Yeah.
Working together, trying to create and work with other people that are within the same or multiple forms of art that are trying to build something and create this as their career or journey or lifestyle live for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. And then, you know, again, you're giving us a space for people to be influenced. Like the most recent thing that I was there with you was the filmmakers in Sella.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, that was really cool because, again, you grew up in this neighborhood, you don't see any of this stuff. You have to drive far as fuck so you can get to places that...
You got to go to like North Hollywood.
You got to... If you're in the
Or Hollywood in general.
And you know how long that takes. You know, we all know how long that takes.
And that's even if you're able to get a ticket to get in sometimes.
Yeah.
Or if you even know about it at the end of the day.
Yeah. So what you helped put together was, again, an event where people with like-minded interests, in this case, film... That which you don't think, Sela, okay, there's so many people. Why haven't we heard more stories, right?
Like that are from there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then when you put this event together and you see that there's actually people spread out all across the, you know, the county, you're like, holy shit, we needed to meet each other. You know, you need to make those connections.
Definitely. For me, it was more like, so Rudy Torres, he's one of my partners on this filmmakers mixer, but as well as like, works with me with Night Flare, and I work alongside with him too when he invites me to his projects. We've always talked about like, yeah, we heard about this person, or we heard about this filmmaker or this mm-hmm. photographer or this artist that's from Southeast LA or East LA. And we're like, and I'm like, I told that film, I'm like, dude, we should just create a mixer. This is a year ago. And like, we were trying to plan out for a year. Maybe we're like, oh, we'll have it in April. Last year, we got busy. Oh, we'll have it sometime this year.
Uh-huh.
Fuck it, you know? Dude, this November came along and we're like, dude, we have to make this mixer. Like, we have to meet these people.
Wait, it was November, the month before the event?
The event, okay. Yeah. So, like, we have to make this mixer. Like, it needs to be done. Let's pick a date.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, December 16th. Where at? I don't know. Let me figure this out. It's like, so I called a couple spaces, and luckily I went to to an exhibition at the arts at HP at ArtSpace HP,
mm-hmm.
and so I talked to Rosario, and I was like, hey, you know what? I'm thinking of doing this mixer. Would it be cool if we have it here? December 16th seems the date. Let me know if you got it. So I got a text, and she's like, yeah, open. Let me know where you want to book it. I'm like, all right, let me get this shit together. Call Rudy up, and I'm like, hey, dude. It's open.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get the logistics, like get the sheet, you know, create the Google sheet to get people to get invited, you know, or be able to submit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll worry about creating the event, getting all the other things, getting the stuff that we need, the projector, the screen, chairs, everything, et cetera, you know. I'll worry about that stuff later. Like, I'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. Just let's create the logistics for it so people can submit. And I'm like, all right, we got it done. It's like, he's like, I got it set. All right, cool. Hey, Rosario, we're book it. We're in. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that was, I would literally say that the filmmaker's mixer was one of the most, like, first of all, anxiety, but I think was the best accomplishment for 2023 for us. Because we got to meet people that we've seen on social media, that we've heard from other creatives in our spaces when we go around like film festivals, not in Southeast LA, of course, but when we go to these avenues where these people are actually showcasing their films and we hear their names and we're like, dude, he's from Sela or he's from East LA. It's like, well, fuck it. We're going to hit them up.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to let them know we're creating this mixer. And if they want to be a part of it, send them the link to ask them to RSVP, submit and come through. And that's it. We just let everybody else. We literally send messages individually to every single person.
Yeah.
And I told Rudy, you handle the East LA set, and I'll handle Southeast.
Let's
do this.
Hell yeah! I love how you guys put it together. Like you committed to it, like basically like a month before.
It's because it had to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we're in this space. We're in the film industry, and it's like we need to find other people that are from Southeast LA for us to kind of like keep let's just say it's explode.
Mm-hmm.
Like Southeast LA and East LA, we're not nobody. We are somebody.
Yeah.
This community does have people that are great in the industry. And so what better way than for us to pile us up and put us all together?
Yeah, lump everybody together and be like, hey, this is who this person is.
Yeah.
And again, the point of a mixer is to, so you can network. So
network.
Again, you can meet. And networking is important. Like that's key. And I feel like sometimes one of the things that people oversee too many times, you know, like just, hey, I know I have the skills, but just because you have those skills doesn't mean you have the connections, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you need those connections and sometimes your skill just kind of builds up along the people you know, but.
Or build a relationship to be like, hey, you know what? Now that I know that you're a director, now that I know that you're a producer, now that I know that you're a camera operator, a director of photography or anybody in the film, anything in film related, I could be like, I'm going to hit you up for my next project.
Yeah.
Or I'll be like, hey, you know what? We have this in mind. Let's work together on this. Or if you need help on your project, hit me up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down to help. But we already understand it's expensive and we know we're broke as fuck. So we know we could help each other out. It's like, I know you don't got money, but let's work something out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down to be a part of it. If I like the idea, I like what you're doing, fuck it. If you like my idea and you like what I'm doing, come on through.
Damn.
You know, let's just work together. You know, I think there's also this thing where Latinos are always throwing shit against Latinos. Mm-hmm. You know, we're always against each other. Why? What for? Instead of like being against each other, let's be there for each other. That's the one way we're going to be able to step up and be in front of those big old, like, you could say Motion Picture Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could be right on top alongside with everybody else if we weren't so, like, envious or greedy or, like, oh, we're just in it for ourselves. No, I think being able to help each other out, being able to be there for each other, it's very important because at that point, you kind of build a community. You build a collective, but you also build strength.
Yeah.
And at the same time, power together.
Just from your perspective, like, how do you think you build that? Like that want or the need to want to help your community? Because I don't think that's some, you know, I can speak for myself that when I first started the podcast, it was more like, I want to just have a podcast. But slowly you come in, you start filling in the shoes of the responsibility you have as a platform that you start creating, you know, and then you start thinking about like, okay, how is this affecting my community? Should my community know about this stuff? Like, what do I really want to put out there? And then you kind of, you know, become some more self-aware.
Yeah. Like, the self-awareness is, it's a big part of it because just like we were talking about our community, we've seen it and the changes that it's made throughout time. But you also see it within the people that we work with or that mm-hmm. we share our time with, like friends, you know, friends that have this passion. And sometimes they're struggling. So I think at the end of the day, it's also like, for me, it's compassion. So if you have compassion amongst other people, but then you also see like, you know that you do this and you struggle, but you don't want to see anybody struggle. Well, what can you do to help them out just a tad bit? Or what can you do that you could still help mm-hmm. yourself? Because at the end of the day, we're not at 100% ourselves.
Yeah.
But what can you do to at least give a little bit of that time to work together and be like, well, if I do this with him, it kind of works alongside with what I'm doing too. So let me ask him if he's done to collaborate.
Yeah.
I think collaborating, it's a big inspiration. Learning how to collaborate. I think a lot of us find collaboration as like, we're just kind of just using each other. It's not about using each other. Yeah, at some points we could use each other, but be straight up. He's like, hey, you know what? You're good at this. Good at this. You need this. I need that.
Yeah.
You gotta do something? Do it, you know, but also it's just, I think compassion. I think at the end of the day, you have to find compassion. That compassion emotion of trying to put yourself in those people's shoes because you've been on that road is like, mm-hmm. it puts you like, oh, well, you know what? That person is struggling on that platform. I've been struggling on my platform. Well, I think if we join forces and we think of some sort of idea, we could probably create an empire.
Yeah.
Who knows? You know? So for me, I could literally say is like, me being in music, I was in a band called Mother Rose at the time. And before I even had joined the band, who is my vice president now for Night Flare, he's also director, his name is E.R. Suarez. He basically has been, he was trying to do a music video for them for a really cool minute,
mm-hmm.
like a cool minute. And it wasn't happening. Then I joined Mother Rose like a year after and he's been on this role with them again. And I asked him, hey, so like, what's up with the music video that you mentioned you wanted to do with them? He's like, I don't know. It's just not happening. So I'm like, the fuck? What do you need, bro?
Yeah.
Like, what do you need? Like, what do you need? It's like, oh, I need a location. I need some props and some money just to kind of cover my time just mm-hmm. to like film and edit so forth. I'm like, all right, well, how much you need? Here you go. Let's go. I'll book some shows. I was booking shows at the time and that's how I was making money. So I'll book shows and I'm like, all right, here it is. This is what, just take care of it. And I'll ask the bandmates to pitch in later when they can. It's all good. Let's take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
That initiative of me, like that person really being passionate of what he wanted to do is like direct films and do music videos. As a friend, I'm like, damn, like I want to be able to do this for you and see if something comes out of it, mm-hmm. even if it's something for a band that I was already a part of. So I think being able to see that person and like see their struggles and also at the same time feel what they're feeling, because you're also like struggling.
Yeah.
And being able to be like, oh, I think I could do this, kind of breaks that bridge of like, oh, well, how can we help each other out, and mm-hmm. how can we be driven to help other people in this industry or this entertainment industry or this avenue that we're trying to all be a part of. At the end of the day, we're all artists.
Mm-hmm.
All of us are artists. Ernie is an artist. Mother Rose is an artist, musician artist, you know, be a podcast. You're an artist. You're also a graphic designer. No, you're also a rapper. So it's like, we're all in the arts. At the end of the day is like, how can we all get together and be like, oh shit, let's figure something out.
Yeah.
Let's plan something out. You know, this is where I'm good at. This is where you're good at. That's where that person's good at. This is where do we want to be? And let's go forward. And then it changes. It's always going to progress. It's always going to keep changing. And if the people that are on it can't stay with it, then it's okay for them to part ways. But always be focused mm-hmm. on what your mission is. You know, and that's one thing that I think that drives me. I think me knowing where I want to go and what I want to create has been my drive to what I do today. And being a part of other like collectives or being a part of like collaborating with other artists in my community, even if they're not in my community, I work with other people that are not from Southeast LA. So it's like, I think it's just finding that passion of what you're really passionate about. At the end of the day, it's more like what's going to help you be the person you want to be. And if it's other people, then go alongside those spaces. And it comes down to like, if you really want to do something in your life, it could be, you could be a musician, a filmmaker, or any other avenue, any career that you want to be. Put yourself in spaces where those people are.
Yeah, of course.
Day to day. Be included, be in those spaces, talk to those people, ask questions, engage. It's scary at first though, so like I tell you.
Hell yeah.
Because people are fucking shy as fuck. I know I'm one of them. I'm not going to say and preach, say like, oh yeah, I've always been this talkative person. Fuck no.
Yeah, the same.
I'm a person that's like, I was shy as shit. Shy. Yeah. I was shy as stuff, like really shy. And so I found it really hard to be able to talk to other people and like and try to create this communication of collectiveness, right? One of the reasons why people only knew Night Flair.
Yeah. I think you find it easier to create when you detach yourself from it, like your persona. And then when you have to step into the shoes, that's when you're like, oh, fuck. But you have to do it, you know, and then it just brings growth for yourself too. Like
reflection.
You learn how to grow in there.
You get to realize that, damn, can't get away from this.
Yeah.
It looks like I have to step in a little bit. I got to put my foot in a little further now and be like, well, I mean, I'm in it. Mm-hmm. I think there is no way out. This is where you're going to go ahead and start now engaging people. And that's one of the reasons also the Filmmakers Mixer, right? It's it puts me now in front. And I'm like, fuck. I was like, it's meant for everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, but no, it's that guy. He's the guy who put it together. Ah, fuck.
And I'm like, I knew for a fact that once I put myself out there, I'm like, okay, now people are going to start asking questions for the fact that it's like, they've seen the name.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with plenty of other people like that scene, and I work with them on the low of them not knowing what the bigger purpose of what I was trying to establish was. For me, with everybody else, it was just like homies,
mm-hmm.
friends of other homies, trying to work in spaces and platforms, you know, trying to just like be a part of the scene. I love music. I love film. And seeing other people in those spaces is just, I have a really good time because I really enjoy it. Like it's a passion of mine.
Yeah.
So it's like when you're passionate about something, then your passion becomes my passion, you know? So it's like, oh shit. That was pretty dope.
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes I feel when as a filmmaker and you like an artist, like a musician, you're like, hey, you know what? Can I go to your show and I'll film you, bro? I'm not even going to charge you. I'm just going to go fucking film it. Fuck it. You feel it. You're like, because you want to be a part of those spaces or part of those stages. Kind of bring nostalgia back.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can't play anymore right now, but I could capture it and I could live through it through them, you know, at the same time.
Hell yeah.
And people, and at the end of the day, like, they get a video and they get to watch it, and they're also like, damn, dude, thanks. It was pretty dope.
I like when people are able to pick themselves up and their spaces around them too. You know, one of the shows that I went to with Chencha, I think at the House of Blues in Anaheim, yeah, they brought out the banda. What the fuck? No, the
drum line.
Yeah, dude, they brought the drum line out. That shit was so cool. I was, you know, I'm from the hood, so I immediately was like, HP High? Like, what?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, they represented it. They were a couple miles away, but they still were saying, hey, this is where we're coming from. These are the kids that are involved in these arts. And again, for being the little kid, I can just imagine being that kid there. How inspired you are seeing the crowd and just like...
That was the goal.
You know?
Like, yeah, and that was the goal. Fucking Diablo's home. Goal was like, we are going to bring kids to big, well-known stages, mm-hmm. and make them feel how we feel.
Yeah.
When we step into these stages, and they're going to be in awe, and they're going to be like, damn, they're going to have a taste,
mm-hmm.
of being a part of something huge, something that they probably only saw on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause they're YouTube kids. So it's like people that saw on YouTube, or when they go to a concert, whoever thought that, damn, I'm going to be in that stage one day.
Yeah.
They did it. They're like, they got the call and they're like, hey, can we have the band? They're like, yeah, sure. Luckily, the instructor was super down for it, right? With the help of, I think, Edgar Rose, their bass player. So it was kind of exciting even for us, like for Edgar, myself, and I think even for the Chencha members that came from playing, I think it was a lunch. That's what they mentioned. They played a lunch in HP High.
Yep.
And for them to come that long way and they bring it back to give back, I think that's an inspiration itself. Because for me, I was like, damn, I remember when I was in drumline, I wish I would have been at the House of Blues fucking drumming for a band.
Do it. And
that's pretty fucking sick.
Yeah, and like I mentioned, that's the thing that they come back with, and now they're inspired to fucking, I wanna see that again, you know? And now they're telling the other people they're getting involved with, like, hey, dude, this can be a reality.
Yeah.
And so, to me, that was fucking powerful, beautiful. And it's, again, going back to the whole thing where you said that we have to step up to these roles at some point where now we're the ones who have to give this information to the people because we've been through the struggle.
Yeah.
And because we understand that struggle, I think that's when you can really have a connection, be more compassionate to those people in those same paths. And that's where you can reach out with a fucking branch and be like, hey, take this, you know, let me pull you up.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
And you're just creating a domino effect. You
create resources at the end of the day. Once you create a platform and you already went through the struggle yourself, and now you have other people coming through that are trying to be a part of those avenues, then at that point you're like, oh, well, come through. Let me give you some resources that might be able to guide you and help you be a part of what you want to do, and you can figure it out from there.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, if you want to come work with us, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
At the same time, we're also building. So it's like... We're growing as we go.
Yeah, I mean, one thing to keep in mind, I've said this before on the podcast, is that early on when I started doing the podcast and the graphic design, I was just reaching out to people who I thought their design looked cool. I was like, hey, give me some tips, you know, how to like fucking make it better. And remember this one guy, he just straight out said like, my shit sucked. Not even like positive reinforcement or anything. It was more like, hey, your shit fucking sucks. Like, you should give up. And I was like, damn, bro, okay. You're going to come across those people who are just going to be there to just fuck with you mentally. But eventually I was like, you know what? Fuck that. You know, let me make my own representation of what I think looks cool. You know, it doesn't have to be based on somebody else all the time. And that just empowered me to keep going, you know, and just continue just building, learning, growing, and then helping other people. And the next time somebody asks me like any tips, I'll be like, yeah, you know, I'll share my knowledge. Like, not be a fucking gatekeeper.
Yeah. Or, be a negative Nancy.
Negative Nancy, yeah.
Or be like, oh, no, fuck your shit. I ain't going to help you out. Yeah. Fuck you. Nah, it's I think it takes a long way, our humility, you know, or being humble. We could be famous as fuck. And at the end of the day, I'm still going to be able to fucking root for the little guy because I've been there.
Yeah.
And I think we should not forget where we were and who and how we struggled and what we went through. And even if you did not struggle, I think it's still good for you to still be humble at the end of the day and be like, hey, you know what? It's good to help other people out. Because guess what? Maybe one day you might get stuck and you're like, damn, I need some sort of idea. And that person that you helped out be like, has the idea.
Yeah.
You never know. It might just come back or it might bite you in the ass like, damn, that I should hit that fool up. But damn, I know I dissed him though.
You're like, girl.
Shit.
I gotta be put in an awkward position.
No, you're just not gonna hit him up and then you're gonna be stuck in the same place, you know? And if you hit him up, that person's gonna say, go fuck yourself. Or if he's kind or that person's kind, then maybe they might be and be like, past is past.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always, that person will always have that feeling.
Yeah, of course.
That person will never forget. That's all I could say. You know, it's in us all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've had people that I've reached out for the help. And I think I'm always going to stay with a positive. And if they didn't help me out then, but we could work together now, by all means, mm-hmm. let's work together.
Yeah.
There's nothing against whatever. At the time, you might have not been ready for me.
Exactly.
At the end of the day.
Exactly.
And maybe at the time, maybe I wasn't ready for you either. Maybe I was too much in my head and I'm like, I went for the long shot. For the long shot. You know, I'm like, well, I was probably asking for so much. Maybe. But once again, it's like, everybody has their time. And you don't know when your time is. The unknown will be scary, but keep doing and believing in what you do. Mm-hmm. And if you keep believing and if you believe in what you're doing, time, everything will just come in time.
Yeah,
everything will come. Everything has its time. I've literally been experiencing that. I'm like, you're at the space you're supposed to be. Yep. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, but I don't know if I'm ready for these type of things. Fucking my faith just keeps fucking throwing it into my face. Nah, dude, you gotta fucking do it.
Yeah.
Sure. So at that point, you also have to learn how to surrender.
Mm-hmm.
When things just come up and it's like, oh, it keeps showing you to keep doing what you're doing and it's just telling you, oh, damn, it came back and it's coming back and it comes back to your mind. You're like, and you keep revisioning. You're like, nah, but I'm not ready. And it just keeps coming back. I think at that point, it's telling you like, you need to surrender and accept that this is your purpose.
Yeah.
This is what you're meant to do. This is what you're supposed to do. Now figure out what's next for you to keep doing what you're doing. And that's pretty much it. You got to figure it out because the unknown will always be scary. You will always not know what's going to be the result of what you're doing. Not until you finally established the actual like, oh, damn, this is, it finally came in to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, it will be like one day I will have the motion pictures. And when that day comes, I'm like, damn, what is next? Because there's always going to be something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
You, as an innovator, as a visionary, also like you don't stop creating. Also as an artist, you don't stop creating. You don't stop in that one spot. As a musician, you don't stop just making that one track hit. Maybe for some people, it might work out and be like, I'm done with that one hit wonder. But I'm pretty sure that person has done like 20,000 other tracks.
To get to that one.
To try to get to that point.
Yeah, right.
You know, they went through a shit ton of like sessions or like, and have been upset or have been angry at themselves, struggling, fighting with themselves or gone through some shit. Family, you know, family is another part, support system, right? Like that's a hard one, especially if you have kids. It's another thing. As an artist, you struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Like having a family, maybe even your parents, you know, if you're young and you're still with them, is like you're going out to a recording session or you're going out to a film session and your parents are asking, hey, so where's the money? You making money?
Yeah,
and you're like, I made 20 bucks,
yeah.
50 bucks. That's it. I'm still a work in progress,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's like they don't know what your goal is,
right?
Because at the same time, we also don't talk to like our support system, our parents, or the people that our loved ones, like our biggest visions, because it also comes with our biggest fears. It's like we're also afraid of telling them that, well, we don't want to fail.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's our biggest thing. We don't want to fail. But you know what? Fuck that. Fail.
Because
you'll learn.
Exactly.
You'll learn, and then you'll restructure. And if you have the guts, because if you really believe in what you're doing, you're gonna get the fuck back up.
Yeah, you're going to have that motivation to finish it through. Yeah, like, no matter how many times you fail.
Trust me, I'm in the place where I'm like, damn, what if I fail? And I'm like, well, what if you don't?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you know, it's crazy because risk taking is important.
Take the fucking risk.
You got to take the risk. Yeah, you've touched a lot on the whole idea that the unknown, right? It's no matter what you do, no matter where in what situation or you put it in, sorry, the unknown is always going to be fucking terrifying. But it's like, once you do it, it's not scary. You're like, no. Oh, okay. You know, that wasn't that bad, you know? And I think once you start learning that everything that you try that's new is going to have the same result, that you're going to be scared, but you know that the result is going to be like, oh, okay, like it's over, it's done. Then you can continue to become more comfortable with the idea of chasing new things. So you start feeling excited rather than fearful of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it comes down to the filmmaker's mixer. That was terrifying because it comes with a purpose. And the purpose is that filmmaker's mixer was for Southeast LA and East LA to come together, but also to recognize and to get to know the filmmakers in our community. Because I'm going to be bringing an international film festival to Southeast LA. And it has to include them.
Yeah.
They have to be a part of it. They're either part of the committee, they're part of the board, or part of the artists, or part of the filmmakers are going to be submitting their work. But it's going to be another platform where it's Latino-based, rooting for Latinos in our community in Southeast LA, which is a low-income, they call it, so-called. Mm-hmm. But nah, it's a rich community where we're all going to get together and be able to showcase what we're really good at. You know, finally highlight the artist, the work, and spotlight everything that everybody's able to create. And I'd have to go and be like, oh, I got to go to Hollywood to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have to get validation from these industry professionals, as they call them. Well, we're also professionals. But what do we consider as professionals? They consider a certain thing professional, and in other avenues, they consider other things as professionals. So it's like, we're also professionals. So, but the only thing that we don't have is we don't have a space where we can actually be the majority.
Yeah, right.
So now we're going to have that. I think also another film festival that's curated just for Latinos is La Leaf. I attended for the first time last year, and that was a very inspirational event to be a part of. Nothing but Latinos being from all over the world being highlighted and also acknowledged for the work that they've done in film, and everybody else that put it together that's Latinos, mm-hmm. you know? And so we're going to have more Latino stuff coming through. And I think it's up to us to bring it together.
Sick. Well, I mean, we're going to make sure everybody's there too.
Everybody's going to be there.
Everybody know.
Everybody's going to be there.
David, thank you, man, for taking the time to come out here and do the podcast. For people to stay updated on the events that you have planned out for this year, where can people stay up to date on that?
You can always check out Night Flare on Instagram, you know, nightflare.la. And to check out my work personally, you could just check out my page on DAVHRZ Films. On Instagram.
Awesome.
Yeah. Or my website, I think is davefilms.com.
Well, I mean, people are going to find the way. When they want to look for the information, they're going to find the way too, you know? So, but
They'll see more of it, to be honest. Like, I think this podcast is our first. So, like, once it launches, I think it's going to probably bring some attention. Like I said, this is my first time. This is my scary.
Yeah.
I'm not too much of, like, talking. So, it's like, okay. We'll see what happens.
Whatever happens, even if we fail at this first conversation, we're gonna do another one.
Yeah.
But dude, thank you again. Everybody else, have a good rest of your night. And we'll see you next time.
Gracias. Salud.